Play Radio from William Hill. Your eyes on a world of sport.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Snooker Podcast. We're going to look ahead to the WilliamHill.com UK Championships, which get underway at the Barbican in York on Tuesday. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined on the line by former pro Ian McCulloch. How are you, Ian?
Hey, up, Mark. How are you, Paul?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad at all. Looking forward to this. It's different this year, isn't it? 128 players all entering the first round this year. The top 16 don't get the bye to the last 32, if you like. So it's going to be interesting couple of rounds.
Yeah, it is. There's been a lot of flat 1-8 draws this year that have been a random draw, but this is still seeded, and that's why if you look at the actual 64 first round matches, you've got Ronnie O'Sullivan, who's the number 2 seed, playing an amateur, because basically there hasn't been the quarter of professionals entered, and they've drafted in some from amateurs from the Q school sort of thing, off the Q school sort of ranking list. So it's still seeded. So some of the lads have got a slightly easier passage, say, than some of the other lads, but they've still got to win that extra game. And like I say, they used to get seeded through to the last 32, and they won't all be there. I'll guarantee you one or two will get beat.
Okay, so we could see maybe a few upsets, but like you said, the seedings still make it so that the biggest players should really still get through, shouldn't they? They should go.
Well, on paper, you'd think they would do, but it never works that way. There will always somebody fall at the first or second hurdle.
Okay. Right, well, what we're going to do is we're going to spin through the outright betting. We'll probably go through the first 9 or 10 in the betting or so. And then Ian's going to give us who he thinks will win, an each-way chance, and a big outsider to get stuck into as well. So we'll start with the outright betting. Ronnie O'Sullivan is the favourite. He's 9-2. The world champion, recently crowned the champion of champions champion. Mm. Enough champions in there. And 3 times a UK champion as well. So he's always going to be strong in this. What do you make of him at 9-2?
He is. I actually think that's a little bit short, to be honest, and it's not. I'm not saying he's not going to win it. He actually showed a little bit of petulance in that final against Stuart Bingham in the Champions final. Stuart, you know, with hindsight, lost 10-8 and potentially should have won. You know, Ronnie headbutted the table, he punched the table a couple of times, and he hasn't shown that for a while. You know, is the old Ronnie creeping back? I actually don't. I'm not saying Ronnie's not going to win it, but 9-2, I'd want something a little bit bigger than that, I think.
Okay. He didn't necessarily always have his head in that final either, did he, on Sunday evening? And now that he's playing a little bit more often, do you think we're going to start to see the old Ronnie a bit, where he gets frustrated?
Possibly. I mean, if he's playing more, he's going to get beat more and more. That's the reality. And he isn't going to win every tournament. Obviously, last year he only entered 2 tournaments. He entered the very first PTC and obviously won the World Championships. So he had a tremendous strike rate for the season, but you know, it's highly unlikely. You know, he's lost to Selby in the final in Belgium a few weeks ago, and you know, he's not going to win all the time. And it's not how he copes with winning; it's how he copes with defeat, which, as we've seen in the past, he doesn't like it.
Yeah. Okay. So 9-2, maybe a little bit too short then for Ronnie O'Sullivan. The second favourites are Ding Junhui and Neil Robertson. We'll start with Ding, who's bidding to win a 4th consecutive ranking title after winning the Shanghai Masters, the Indian Open, and the International Championship. 2009 winner of this as well. He's really hit form, hasn't he, Ding?
Yeah, he has. The worry is for me is eventually the bubble's going to burst. You know, to win 3 tournaments on the trot, he's the first professional to win 3 full ranking events on the trot since Hendry in the early 90s. And, you know, eventually the bubble's going to burst. He lost. There has been a couple of PTCs mixed in amongst them, the Indian Open and the Shanghai Masters. And as well as he's done in them, he hasn't won them. So eventually, the bubble's going to burst. Ding seems to be a lot more mature on the table now than what he was a couple of years ago. He does seem to be handling, you know, the real pressure situations better than what he was. But then again, in the Champion of Champions, he came up against Ronnie and a few old scores opened up. He was 3-0 up and 5-3 up and lost 6-5. So you don't know how much that's going to damage him. But again, you know, he's not. I'm not saying it's a funny one. I'm not going to say he's not going to win it, but again, I want a little bit more value.
Okay, Neil Robertson is the other one at 8-1. He's a previous world champion, of course, but the UK Championships have eluded him so far. Do you think there's anything in that, or do you just think it's just not come round to him yet?
No, it'll happen. Neil's too good a player, isn't he? You know, and 8-1 starts representing value on a guy who's been relatively quiet. I think he won the Wuxi Classic at the start of the season, and I'm pretty sure he's won a PTC event as well. But Neil's just a quality player. I mean, he had a spell a couple of months ago. I think he hit something like 14 tons in 20 competitive frames, which is, you know, it's phenomenal. If you go back sort of like 15 years ago when Hendry was absolutely banging it and everybody went, well, nobody will ever play like this again. And yet they're all playing like this now. And Neil's actually, on a percentage basis, he's scoring heavier than Hendry ever did. He makes more centuries than Hendry did. You know, so, I mean, you've got a great player there. Obviously a former world champion, you know, multiple tournament winner. Just he's got a brilliant temperament. You know, he's got bags of bottle and 8-1. Yeah, it looks a little bit of value there.
Okay, 8-1 then, a decent price about Neil Robertson. Mark Selby is next in at 9-1, the defending champion, of course, and he's played well again this year, hasn't he? What do you make of him going into this year's UK Championships?
The thing is with Mark, you're always getting a tryer, aren't you? You know, this time last year he was a little bit flat. He'd had one or two bad results and everybody was saying, he's Selby this and he's Selby that. But he silenced all his critics by I think he beat Sean Murphy in the final, didn't he, last year? And you know, Mark's a tryer, isn't he? He won Antwerp a couple of weeks ago, beat Ronnie O'Sullivan from 3-1 down in the final. Had a bit of a slip-up in the Champion of Champions. He lost to Bingham in the semis on last Saturday. But he's a tryer and you know, at least you know when you're backing Mark Selby, you're getting 100% for your money.
Yep, and still a decent each-way price at 9-1 as well. Judd Trump is next in, 12-1. His brand of naughty snooker looked like it was going to take him right to the top maybe a year or two ago, but hasn't quite panned out that way for him. What do you make of him at 12-1?
I personally couldn't get involved on Judd, to be honest. He won this event. Was it 2 years ago he won this event? And he, like I say, he got to number one in the world rankings, but the way that the ranking system is now, the sands of time change very, very quickly. And Judd's, I think he's down to about number 7 or 8 now, something like that. And all of a sudden now, them brand of naughty snooker shots he was taking on, they're not going in anymore. And I think he's realised they were very low percentage. And he's actually had one or two little bits of, you know, two mental scars now. Higgins beat him in a final last year when he led 7-2. Higgins came back to win 10-9. And just at the moment, Judd, he did lose in the final in Gloucester a couple of weeks ago to Mark Allen. But just at the moment, I couldn't back Judd Trump with any sort of, like, you know, confidence.
Okay, and it's funny you should mention Mark Allen there, because he's 16-1, the next in the betting as well. So what do you make of his chances? I mean, on his day, he's pretty good, isn't he?
Well, he's a great player, Mark, and he scores very, very heavily. You know, and I think the shorter format stuff actually suits Mark, the stuff that's over 3 or 4 days. But, you know, he's a great, great player, isn't he? I think he was a runner-up in this, was it last year or a couple of years ago? You know, he's a quality player, is Mark Allen. You know, and if you get it, well, did you say he was 16-1?
Yeah.
You know, it's a big price on a player who doesn't fear anybody and has supreme belief in himself. I'd have to take a closer look at the draw, really, to see what his section was like, who he was going to have in the quarterfinals or the semi-finals potentially, and then make a choice. But I mean, it's a big price, 16-1, who's somebody on, you know, who is a proven winner.
Yeah, runner-up in 2011 to Judd Trump, so
that's right.
Let's have a little bit of a history between themselves. John Higgins is in there next at 18-1. He's had a quiet season by his standards, really, I suppose, hasn't he?
He's had a very lean season, as John. He's had a couple of, well, results that John won't be happy with. He lost to young Sam Bird a few weeks ago in Gloucester. He lost early in the PTC, I think it was to Kurt Mafflin in Belgium a couple of weeks ago. He lost in the Champion of Champions, you know, to Stephen Maguire, and he just doesn't look like he's on the ball. But you're right, John Higgins, off at your peril, don't you? You know, he's the consummate match player. He's arguably the best player there's ever been at playing the right shot at the right time, which means you're always getting, again, a try for your money. And you know, eventually, John Higgins is never not going to win another tournament, and 18-1 looks a bit juicy, doesn't it?
Okay, bit of value there then, possibly on John Higgins. Then we've got a whole host of them, well, three of them, in fact, on 28-1. Marco Fu, Sean Murphy and Stephen Maguire, all 28s. So we'll start with Marco Fu, and then we'll move through them, if you don't mind, Ian.
Well, Marco's having a great year, isn't he? He won Australia early on this year. He's had a couple of finals in the PTCs as well. I'm pretty sure he's had another ranking final. He had the final of the German Open right back at the start of this year in January. And again, Marco Fu, the only thing that puts me off with backing Marco with any confidence, every now and then he has these days when he just seems to do everything wrong. And he had one in the Champion of Champions the other day. And he was just, after winning the first frame with a 60 break, the wheels just fell off completely. That's the worry with Marco. He's either very, very good or very, very bad. And it's probably the inconsistency that's blighted his career, as good a career as he's had.
Sean Murphy then next. He won this in 2008, runner-up last year. Another player that's probably not hit his best form this year.
Sean Murphy last year was the most consistent player on tour without winning a tournament. The number of semi-finals and quarter-finals and runner-up slots he had was phenomenal. And for a player of his class, he's 28-1. I mean, that's just a ludicrous price on somebody who's as good as what he is. But I know Sean's tinkered around with his cue a little bit at the moment. He has been changing cues. And if he is changing cues, you know, I'd want a lot bigger price than 28-1, because it does take a long time to get used to a cue. And maybe that's why Sean's not quite having the season he wanted.
Okay, Stephen Maguire the next in at 28-1. 2004 winning, that was some years ago, wasn't it? He started to play okay again.
Still a great player, isn't he? You know, he lost to Selby in the Champion of Champions last week. Big players up for big events, and this is a big event, and Maguire is a big player, isn't he? So, you know, I couldn't put anybody off backing him, especially each way at 28-1. You know you're getting a tryer, doesn't fear anybody. And again, I'd probably have to just look at the draw to see who he's got, a pre-quarter-final sort of thing.
Okay, then it's 33-1 barring though. Stuart Bingham is the 33-1 shot. Alistair Carter 40s with Barry Hawkins, 50s for Graham Dott and Mark Williams, 66s for Joe Perry, Mark Davis. It's 80-1 or bigger price as the rest. So what we'll do from here, Ian, if you give us who you think we're going to win the tournament, a nice each way price, and then something at ridiculous odds, something that could sneak into it at big odds.
Yeah, you're not asking for much then, Mark. I think for a good outright, you'll not go far wrong from backing Selby or Robertson. You know, because Robertson is just a great player. He's in good form. Selby, you know, he's a tryer. A good each way bet. Ricky Walden's always a threat. I think he was 50-1 or 40-1 there. He's a semi finalist in this a couple of years ago.
80-1, Ricky Walden.
80-1. Yeah. It's a big price. He's having a quiet season, but it's a big each way price. He was obviously semi-finalist at the Crucible last May. He was a semi-finalist in this event, I think last year or the year before. So Ricky's got to be banging it. If Ricky starts banging it, he's an handful for everybody. And just three good outside bets. Andrew Higginson, I think he's about 125-1 or something like that. Because he's apparently on the practice field, he's absolutely on fire. And two big outside each way bets, James Cahill and Ian Burns.
Okay, good stuff. James Cahill and Ian Burns, and the two at very big odds. Nice one. Thank you, Ian. It's been a pleasure to speak to you again. Enjoy the UK Championship, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you later on in the tournament.
Cheers, Mike. Will do.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.